What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
It's Paul Hamilton.
Oh, Cervantes and Hamilton going to each other and the whiskey.
Ooh.
Into it.
We have a fight.
With Mike Schopen, the Bulldog.
Knocheck was just totaled by an Iowa State player against the board.
I think it was by Hamilton.
On WGR.
Really a pretty unnecessary hit by Hamilton. But Hamilton is still awfully mad. He's being held back.
Number 17, Paul Hamilton. 2 minutes for charging, 5 minutes for fighting, and
a Sports Radio 550.
Cold but nice day here in Amherst, where we broadcast from. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog. We were talking about the weather today, and you had some feelings about it. I can smell baseball a little bit. The sun being out, it's close enough. Pitchers and catchers. Casey Candell. Returning for his fifth season managing the Bisons this year, who open in March. Opening day for them is end of March.
Paul, five seasons is a pretty hearty run for a minor league manager, isn't it?
It's more so than you might think. As we welcome Paul Hamilton to the show, Paul does the occasional Bisons game from the booth there. Candell, with a good season, will break the franchise record for wins as a manager.
Yeah, and when Jim Rosenhaus first started, bunch of us did road games with him. I was one of them. And Casey Candell was their leadoff hitter.
Yeah.
Back then. Yeah. So I remember as a player, Brian Giles was on that team and Sean Casey and a group of major leaguers. Jeremy Bernitz, I believe, was on that team.
Okay.
But yeah, Casey Candell was a player, one of the funniest guys I've ever heard or seen. He was hilarious. And a good utility player for the team.
That's around the time I was doing Rochester games, 94, 95, I think. Because Candell is in his 60s now. And, there was a Jeremy Bernitz. I got yelled at. I got a lecture because one of the announcers said I was saying his name wrong. And I had heard one of the Met, I think it was Bob Murphy, say Bernitz. So I just went with that. And I think Josh Lewin came over. He's like, when are you going to... It's Bernitz. You got to say Bernitz. Might be right. Thought I was right. I care about this stuff too. Also, Candell, his mother played professional baseball.
I forgot about that. Yes.
He and his mom were believed to be the first ever mother-son ball player. She played in the league that was glorified by a league of their own. She was a player in that league. So I'm not sure if there's a second, but they were the first ever mother-son pro ball players. All right.
That's awesome.
Now I can really taste it, Paul. Here we go. Let's bring
Mike,
on this.
I have a question for you.
Good.
We're not done yet. You got to wait till 4:25.
Make it easy.
Could you tell me why I flew to Buffalo from Nashville instead of flying to Florida? I've been sitting here for 3 days freezing to death going, what am I doing here? Why am I here? Why am I not in Florida?
I don't know that answer.
Yeah, I wish I could help you, Paul.
I have next week off because my kids are off, and I had big ideas. My son and I were like, we'll just go as far as we need to so that we can wear shorts outside. So, maybe that's D.C., right? in possibly. No. It'll be 34
right.
next week in Washington. So
right.
that you're going to have to, maybe you might have to go as far as Florida to
you,
be warm.
Or, last, yeah, year, yeah.
last year I was smart enough to go to Cape Canaveral during this time.
Oh, yeah.
And go run through
well
NASA.
Played.
I had a great time. How did I forget to go do that and just be there?
Mike is giving me all the vibes of a vacation I took in the winter of 97, I think, or 98, I can't remember which, where I, by myself, I threw my golf clubs in the trunk of a Nissan Altima and decided I was driving south until it was warm enough to golf. And I left, like, I didn't get an early start on the Sunday. I remember listening to the Daytona 500 on the radio, driving south. I got to, like, somewhere in Maryland, settled down for the night, and then Monday morning got up and started driving south. I don't know how long it took me to get to Virginia Beach, but I know I got off the highway and got out of the car in Virginia Beach and went, nope, not warm enough yet, and kept going. And I got to Myrtle Beach at like 8 or 9 o'clock at night that night and found a little mom and pop motel that had a golf package. And I spent the week there golfing with strangers and eating steaks. And it was great.
What? I'll just do that.
I thought you were going to tell me you made it all the way to a boat and wound up in the Bahamas or something.
No, right, no.
I'll just do that next week.
Myrtle Beach was as far as I needed to go. Yeah.
The kids can handle themselves. I'll just do that, I think. All right, Paul. Well, hockey seems to have gotten one right here with this tournament.
Yeah, there was pretty much no doubt in my mind that they would. It's been so much fun to watch it and, you know, to see these. I mean, these tournaments used to happen quite a bit, and then they hardly ever happen other than the Olympics. So to see it again and just see the Tkachuk brothers play their first game together on the same team, and not only do they do that, but they score 4 goals together.
How about that?
I mean, it was crazy to see them perform and see how happy they were. And just, you know, Jack Eichel was their center for a lot of the game. And it just was a super line for them, and it was really fun to see.
It's just so interesting to see how guys get used here. This is maybe the geekiest point I can make, and it is about Eichel, so I apologize to the fans, because I probably feel very similar to many of you about him at this moment in time. But like, while that game was still close, maybe early in the third period, defensive zone faceoff, I noticed him out there without the Tkachuk brothers, takes a draw, and goes right to the bench. I'm like, Selke candidate Jack Eichel now? Like, what the hell happened?
He definitely is a more complete player than he was in Buffalo, but you would expect that too.
Yeah.
I mean, he's gonna mature.
Yep.
And
he can afford to be. Paul, yeah, right? He can afford to be.
On the team he's on, yeah.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Not just this U.S. team, but even the Vegas Golden Knights.
But,
yeah.
But look at his numbers. His offense has grown too, even though he's a better two-way player.
Well, what do you think about, or what did you think, by the way, as well? You talked to Bulldog on Tuesday. Like, were you expecting this level of intensity from this tournament, at least what we've seen so far? No reason to think it'll quit.
Actually, it's been intense, yes, and I almost thought it'd be more. I thought it'd be one of these things, you know, where it'd be scrums at every turn and you know, hard hits. And there has been one injury, unfortunately, for Vegas, that Theodore is now week to week, as he hurt himself in the first game. So he's out of the tournament. But it has been very competitive. It has been hard hitting. But honestly, I almost thought it would be more.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been hard hitting, and yet I'd say very clean, right?
Yes.
There was – boy, was it – I'm trying to remember the game, whether it was last night or Wednesday night. I think it was last night. There was, because it was McAvoy. He got a pass that was just in a weird spot for him, and he had to reach sort of like from his right to left behind him to get it. And when he turned, there was a Finnish player right there. It was Rantanen, and it was a big dude. And he just wanted the puck. And he took the puck cleanly, got a great scoring chance. Mm-hmm. But holy cow, like, that was a play where he could have been cartwheeled into next week and we'd be arguing about whether it was clean or not. So there hasn't been anything like that. But, there's been a lot of, to me, very hard checks, finishing checks. Nobody being shy about that, but it's been respectful, I would say.
And probably the biggest play of yesterday's game, forget about the Tkachuks and everything. Bulldog, I know you probably had this as one of your bets. Henry Yoki Harjus scoring the first goal of the game. If you did, you are probably a millionaire right now. And
right. Yeah, he had that's a moment for him.
Yeah, that was nice for him.
Yeah, you know, it was nice. It went off Kyle Connor's stick, but still, it counts. And but talking about goaltending, I mean, that's probably – I can't think of one hard save that Hellebuck had to make. I mean, Finland just never really had a great Line A had a chance on the power play early and ripped it wide. It's like, I didn't see you rip that wide against the Sabres when you loaded up for three power play goals. Right. But he really, you know, Finland basically tried to just play defense, which for two periods they did. But I don't think Hellebuck had to make a hard save all night.
Boy, another little kind of geeky evidence that I think you can find if you're really paying attention to how high the buy-in level is for everyone. And Ray Ferraro pointed this out on ESPN last night. Line A back-checking. Like, he made a great play back-checking. And he said on the broadcast, like, that's not something you usually see him dig in on, like, throughout his career. But he's playing for Finland, and everyone, you know, you're Finnish, you know. Like, that's how we play.
And in Montreal.
Right. Home for him now in the NHL.
If that matters. But, yep. Yeah, that's cool. Will Luukkonen get tomorrow or no?
The other guy, the Vancouver guy.
I thought so too because he dressed as the backup, and I'm thinking, well, they're not going with Saros. So I just immediately assumed, which was stupid on my part, that Luukkonen's next, and he's not. Saros, I think, is out. I think you are correct.
Yeah, Lankinen. I think it was even made announced here. And I noticed on the broadcast last night, they were talking about, you know, the choice that made there for certainly no reason to not go with Saros in your first game of the tournament. He's the most decorated netminder of the three of them by a lot. But during the game, even I didn't know who the backup was. I don't know that they said it, or at least that I caught it and was paying attention when they did. But when they were once the score started getting sideways, they were talking about whether Lankinen would get the next game, and I thought that was interesting that they didn't even mention Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen there.
And look at the season he had with Thatcher Demko injured for a lot of it.
Yeah.
I mean, a .905 save percentage, .253 goals against, just. Almost kind of came out of nowhere a little bit. You know, he had been with Nashville, and he had been with the Chicago Blackhawks. Had a pretty good save percentage with Nashville, but only played 19 games in 2002 and 23. But, you know, never put up hugely great numbers. And then Vancouver gave him the opportunity because they needed a goaltender, and he's just taken the bull by the horns. And you know, I don't think it's unfair that he gets the next shot over Luukkonen. Yep. His numbers are much, much better this season in the NHL than Lukanen's are.
Paul, if I can, before we eventually move on to, you know, whatever there is to talk about, I guess a few weeks from the trade deadline, similar to how we talked the other day here, you and I, back to Wednesday night, now I forgot what I wanted to say. This long preamble to get to my question, and I've forgotten the point I wanted to ask you about from Wednesday's game. Oh, I know what it is. Sorry for the delay, everyone. How interesting, if at all, did you find it that Dahlin did not see the ice in overtime?
Only because Carlson also had not seen the ice, and then all of a sudden Carlson's on the ice and he costs him the game. Carlson played two shifts in overtime. One was 10 seconds and the other was 12 seconds. And here comes Marner, bearing down on him. All Carlson does is back into his goaltender.
Yeah.
And even at their best, take Carlson at his best, take Dahlin at his best. Dahlin is a much better defensive defenseman than Carlson is. Carlson has been all offense his whole career, very, very good at offense for most of it. Not recently, no, but – and if you got to run at one of your guys who hasn't played out there, it has to be Dahlin. You can't run Carlson out there, and especially the way that overtime was going. You know, I mean, MacKinnon was absolutely dominant.
He was
undressing good defensemen.
Right.
You just can't run him out there. And that surprised me. I thought Dahlin, for the first half of the game, if we were picking three stars, I thought about this. Dahlin would have been my third star. I thought he was Sweden's best player for the first half of the game. And I thought he and Forsling formed a good pair.
Yep.
Dahlin's on their third pair. I think he and Forsling should be their second pair, to be quite honest with you. I thought he and then at the end of the game, they trusted it enough to go out there with Hedman for a shift with about a minute and a half left. and to try to get that game to overtime. And they trusted him to do that, and then they don't trust him to put him out in overtime. So it just shows you what Sweden maybe thinks of him, that they too realize the hype that came out in 2018, that he hasn't lived up to the hype. Now, he's a darn good hockey player. He's an all-star hockey player. And I think I've told you, when the NHL Network said he's the 11th best defenseman in the league, I'll buy that.
Yeah.
I think that's about right. So, but he's obviously, at least for one game, isn't real valued by Sweden's coaches. So,
right.
Just what really shocked me, though, that, all right, you have two defensemen that haven't played, and you roll Carlson out there? No.
Right. I saw Hedman a lot and Forsling a lot. And then Carlson, like you said, for the bits part. Did I miss somebody else get ice time in OT? Because I thought I only saw Hedman and Forsling.
I think Brodin might have been out there. I'd have to look.
Okay.
I think in overtime those two hadn't played, and the other four had. If I'm not,
that all just yeah. Forsling has been a great story the last couple of years in the league since he got to Florida, and then Hedman and Carlson is just pecking order. Right, I mean, and I don't quibble at all with Hedman getting time in overtime.
Hedman's still one of the top defensemen in the league. Carlson was the curiosity,
and that's just seniority, I think.
I'm sorry, he's a joke. I mean, at this time in his age, and the Penguins have found that. I said that when the Penguins signed him. It's like, what are you doing? I know he had a great offensive season and won the Norris Trophy, which I thought was a joke because basically it was just because of all offense. Hedman, yes, but Carlson, he should be on their third pair, and he should be the guy that barely sees the ice unless you have a power play or something. And Dahlin also is not on either special teams.
Right.
Go
ahead. Mm-hmm.
Back to Luukkonen. What about him this season for the Sabres? The Sabres, no one needs to say it, have made a lot of mistakes. But there are times when they just have to throw their hands up because, like, this makes sense. Lots of things like that have happened, and they just end up in the ditch. You know, Luukkonen's still young, and I don't think he's having the worst season, but he's under 900 save percentage, and he's, you know, signed at a pretty good number for 5 years here now. What should the Sabres be thinking about where they're at in goal?
I don't think he's played as well as he did from January 1st on last year, but he's had some really good games. Unfortunately, he's mixed it in with some games where you say to yourself, boy, you needed a save there. We can say it in their last game against Nashville.
Yep.
There were a couple times where you say, God, hey, you need a save there. You know, but overall, I think he's been okay. It's just hasn't been as good as when he won the job last year and played really, really well. And, Mike, you were right. As we've been talking here, I've been looking it up. Ekholm only played one shift in overtime, and Brodin did not play in overtime. So they had another defenseman also that didn't play. So they had three of them that basically didn't see the ice or hardly saw the ice there. Forsling, of course, was out there, and, of course, Hedman was out there. So you were right. There were other defensemen that did not see the ice in overtime.
On the goalie thing that Mike just brought up, as it pertains to the Sabres moving forward here, maybe the best thing about their commitment to Luukkonen, I mean, we'll see how the contract looks, you know, once we get into next season. This year, it hasn't gone that well, but it has enabled them to get off of this trying to force Levi into the lineup up here thing that they were doing since Levi signed, really. And I know it started off really well and we were all excited and it looked promising, but there was always this like thing in my head, like, give him time at every level. He's had time at every level, even playing juniors at a lower level before he got to college. So he looks like he's having a great year in the AHL, and that doesn't have to necessarily translate eventually to NHL success. But for me, I'm just one dude. I think he's right where he should be right now.
No, you've been right on this. Even when, I mean, Kevin Adams, it's been obvious, wanted Levi to be the NHL goaltender twice now, and it's failed both times because he's just too young, and as Bulldog just said, needed more time to develop, and they weren't giving him that time. He played those games when he signed, those, what was it, seven games,
yep,
I believe, and then right away he's got the job. Here's the job, start the season, it's yours, and that failed. So they finally got him to Rochester where he helped develop, and same thing this year. It's like, all right, Luukkonen's the guy, but we're going to alternate them. even though Luukkonen won the job by far last year, we're going to alternate them. And that didn't work. And now they got to – it's just like Adams wants him to be the starting goaltender. He has tried twice now to hand him the job. He eventually might be the starting goaltender. And I'm a little surprised Luukkonen signed long-term with that in mind. He's not blind. He can see what's going on here, mm-hmm. especially when he played so well last year at the end of the – for the last 30-some-odd games that he played. And then next year he's alternating to start the year. So it'll be interesting to see how this breaks down.
He got his money, I guess.
Right. They were probably hoping for Ullmark and Swayman. Right, Bruin signed Ullmark 5 years, $25 million. The money's close enough. Swayman showed up and started splitting time with him, and that eventually led to a divorce. Ullmark got traded, and now Swayman's got his big contract, and he's their guy, and that's been pretty much a mixed bag for them this year. But I'll bet that was the model they were hoping for, because Swayman didn't play a lot in the AHL before he got there either. But, you know, all guys aren't equal.
But unfortunately, I think they've got two goaltenders that the more they play, the better they are. I'm not sure that will – with these two yeah. goaltenders, I'm not sure that will ever work, because it just seems like they both need to be in the net a lot. I mean, Levi's in net almost every night in the AHL, and he's one of the best, if not the best, goaltender in the league there, and has great numbers and is in the AHL All-Star game. So it seems like they have two goaltenders that have to play a lot. So I'm not sure that model, and I agree with you, that's the model they were thinking. I'm not sure that model is going to work with these two goaltenders.
Paul, thank you for your time. Thank you for your question, even if it was why you didn't go to Florida.
I needed you to tell me why I haven't done the right thing here.
I mean, I said make it easy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed's sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient. Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
How about make it impossible? How could I know why I didn't go to Florida? But at least that's the thought that counts. It's Valentine's Day.
The only time I ever find myself during the winter, I really mean this, thinking, why do we live here, is when I stop to get gas. Like if I stop for gas and it's blowing 20 miles an hour and it's 22 degrees, I'm standing there, and especially if the pump doesn't have one of those, the lock that keeps it going, you got to stand there with your hand. I don't have gloves. Why do I live here? That is the only moment, because I love it here across the board.
Except
that.
For when you get gas in February.
When I'm stopping for gas in February.
Don't you find it interesting that every time you get out for gas, the wind is blowing 20 miles an hour?
Yes!
It's like for 10 days, there could be no wind at all, but you stop for gas, and all of a sudden, it's like a hurricane outside.
I don't know why big gas station does that to us. Those wind machines.
Damn big gas.
They're just rubbing it in.
All right, Paul.
Thanks, Paul.
Take care, guys.
There's Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline. His appearance here on WGR, brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide, and by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this.
Four Nations Face-Off, James Cook, topics of the week here, 803-0550 if you want to join us. We've got open lines for an hour or so. Dave Buchanan will join us later to preview the Bandits weekend, and also a few minutes on the Daytona 500, which is Sunday. They moved the race up to 1:30 because of expected rain in the area. I mean, if it's going to rain here, they don't care. Of course it's in the area. Why else would they?
The greater Daytona area you're referring
to. Yes, right. Yeah, where the track is.
Yeah.
All right. Sports is next. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, WGR.
Year three is historically when tight ends really break out in the NFL. It's just, can he stay healthy? That's been a problem for him dating back to his time at Utah. Obviously, it was an issue this year with his knee, but I think for this passing offense to become even more dynamic, if he can be somebody over the middle of the field that can beat single coverage, that can beat zone coverage, I do think he has a chance to help take this Bills offense to the next level. But you've got to stay healthy. It's really hard to build an offense around a player that just doesn't play that often. But I'm looking for Dalton Kincaid here in year three to make a big leap.
Marcus Mosier on One Bills Live earlier this week, maybe yesterday. A big leap for Kincaid. Kind of need one. 34 games, 5 touchdowns, including playoffs. He has one playoff touchdown. It came against the Steelers, I believe, last year. And nice play. And this year, his season high in receiving yards was 52 or 53. Just not enough of an impact here. Not enough of an impact for the draft pick. That can't be changed. But, you know, you'd want to think that there's more juice.
Yeah, the skill set looks like it warrants being more of a focal point, I think. Maybe a lot goes into that. You know, that's where having pieces on the outside that can really make it work, you know, can matter a lot to the middle of the field, you know, being exploitable. And sure, Cooper was here, but Kincaid was hurt. Like, we just did not get a real good look at it. I mean, that can be excuses, I suppose, if you want to be harsh or maybe even correct about it. I don't know, but, you know, the facts are the facts. He was dinged and just didn't really have the kind of year you were hoping for off of a pretty nice rookie year. I don't even know. Maybe it was better than fine.
The rookie year, I'll go get the numbers. The rookie year was so interesting to look forward to because we played it out all the time how he could have, I forget what numbers we used, but he could have this many catches for this many yards. And at the same time, it would be, okay, I'm not sure it was worth the first round pick. And like historically good rookie tight end season. Laporta that year had an actually great rookie tight end season, and then Bowers just went over Laporta. So some of that was always like it really just hadn't come yet to the NFL. And also Kincaid was not going to really play tight end, but he's also going to be mitigated by Knox. So there are all kinds of different variables, and we had those, I thought, interesting conversations. Is this whatever season it was, 65 catches, maybe 800 yards? Like, this would put him, maybe that's close to what it was.
No, his rookie year, 73 catches.
73, okay, for 673. That's close enough to the kind of year we were talking about just before the season started. Would that be good? And it was good. Two touchdowns.
Right.
But it, you know, somebody can, I hear it. Somebody can tell you, well, it was one of the best rookie tight end seasons of all time. Okay. But, you know, is that enough?
In this era, the bar is raised.
And now the second year was not as good. I mean, he missed time.
Second year was, I'll stop short of disaster, but I mean, it was bad. It was a setback.
The catch rate. How often, like, what were his yards per target going to be? Because as a rookie, he caught 80% of his targets, and last year was 58.
Yeah, what did you had a stat on like inaccurate throws, right? Wasn't Allen missing him?
Well, I didn't have a stat, but you saw it a lot.
Oh, okay.
Probably is one.
I thought you had numbers on that. Okay.
There is one. Yeah. Catchable passes.
Yeah, I think that maybe for a target that saw a certain amount of targets from the quarterback, Kincaid was really, really low on catchable passes. Like, I think Allen missed him a lot. And I think that is proven through data. When you said that the other day, I thought we had numbers on it. But I think I've seen numbers on that, which is why when you said it, I didn't even push back on it at all. I thought, like, I think that's right. But anyway, it all adds up to we're kind of at, it's not a bankable thing yet at all. Far from it. And there's a lot of work to do to get it there. And we'll see if they can find their way to it. But the plan never really got airborne. Even with the rookie year that was as nice as it was. Because really, the rookie year is only nice if it is the step to better. And the better has not come yet at all, obviously.
Dustin is next. Hi, Dustin.
Hey, guys. How are y'all?
Good, man.
Good. Hey, I just wanted to get y'all's take on a couple of transactions that I had thought of. I just noticed that Asante Samuel Jr. was going to be a free agent, and I don't know much about him. I know he's a decent, good player, but I don't know why his fifth-year option wasn't picked up. Maybe y'all knew some things that I didn't or we don't out here, but also trading maybe for like a disgruntled receiver like a Garrett Wilson. Now, I don't know much about him as well, but I know he's talented, but his yards per catch isn't very good. I don't know what kind of routes he runs and stuff like that in New York, but I just wanted to get y'all's take on those transactions.
Well, I don't really have an opinion on Samuel, but Wilson, it would shock me if the Jets move in new management and let go of that guy.
Right.
I mean, there's always a price, I guess, or almost always. But with Rodgers gone, it should be wheels up for Garrett Wilson.
Right.
Like every young receiver had some problem with Rodgers, or it's probably more better put the other way around, it seems. And Wilson was definitely said to be one of them. I mean, that guy is good. And they should – how do you rebuild? It's not by trading your young stars. It's by, you know, keeping them and building around them. Find your quarterback and set this guy free.
That's 100% where I am on that. I'd be stunned if they moved him. I'd say it couldn't happen.
Three straight 1,000-yard seasons playing for the Jets.
I mean, that's pretty incredible. That's like Stevie Johnson doing that in the drought years for the Bills. Really. But even with less stability at quarterback, say what you will, I think largely with Stevie, that was Fitz. So at least you had that. I mean, but the Jets, it's been your name here, and he still was producing. I don't have an answer for you on Samuel, for like what the Chargers saw or didn't see that has gotten it to the point where he's a UFA, but, I mean, he's out there. The Bills are going to need to do something there, I think, at corner. Or even at safety. Like both spots, I think, are something you should probably look at. I think corner will probably be more urgent because of, yeah, I guess it depends on what happens with Samuel, as he, not Samuel, that's the guy we're talking about Rasul Douglas, like what his market is. But to me, you should be trying to get better there. Benford is someone, I mean, we're all wrapped up in this James Cook emoji-thon here with social media and $15 million. Benford's eligible for an extension, and he warrants one, and a market value one. Like, he's that good. So that's a big-ticket item that they're going to, I think, should be mindful of getting done this year. I'm pretty confident they will be.
That's right. Like, Benford, Cook, and Rousseau add up to how many dollars if they're all back?
Like, Benford's going to be 20-ish million, I think.
So could Rousseau.
And absolutely. His estimated market value, according to SpotTrack, is between $22 and $25 million. Average annual value on a contract.
And then Cook is 10.
Right.
50. On three guys, none of whom is making the team better. Like, they're already on the team.
Right.
How about a free agent idea of the day?
Asante Samuel Jr.
Yes, that's
Thank
right.
the caller for Dustin that's, for bringing that up.
That's right. How about another free agent idea of the day? Raheem Mostert, released by Miami. Listen, old. Is he done? If he's done, he's done. He might not be old, fast. You like that. You want speed.
I like fast.
He's been on 100 teams. Well, not 100. There aren't that many teams. His Pro Football Reference page is awesome because it's like all the times he was released and cut and practice squad. And then did they delete that? Okay, here it is. Transactions. I'm like, oh, that used to be way longer. No, because it says show 40 more transactions. That's why. Definitely open that up if you're playing along at home. Open up the 40 more transactions on Raheem Mostert. Philly, Miami, Baltimore, Cleveland, Jets, Bears, Niners. That's where he got famous. Then all the way to Miami again.
I reserve the right to circle back and change my opinion, but I hate this idea.
Well, how could you hate it? We're not going to cost you anything.
Okay. Well, why
do it?
Why bother? It's what I
would say.
It's
not even fine.
No.
Led the league in rushing touchdowns in 2023.
That's a long time ago now, Mike.
You could have the league's most recent two league leaders in rushing touchdowns on the team, and Allen, who had about 30 of his own over those 2 years.
I would rather pay more to keep Ty Johnson than go shopping for a replacement level, you know, minimum contract running back.
Okay.
I think Ty Johnson was nice. So I like him having a role here. I hope the market doesn't get too lucrative for him, should he hit it. Because it could. I mean, he played on a great team and made important, big, not so easy to make plays in the passing game for them. I mean, some of the catches he made were, you know, not just the swing pass dump off type stuff. Like he made plays.
Well, you have one in Miami. You have the Denver one, the touchdown in the Denver game that was incredible.
Yeah,
for Johnson. Okay. Raheem Mostert, somebody's going to do it. You bring him in, you take a look, you see, you decide. Cheap.
I already decided.
Yes, yes, clearly. You didn't have to think about it. Sometimes the best decisions are that you make are the ones you don't think about at all. You just make them.
I did think about what I was going to say there, briefly, albeit, but still, I did give it some thought.
Okay. lines remain open, 803-0550. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR. Little River Band. Haven't heard from them in a while. Talking a little baseball earlier. The sun being out, sort of, was, anyway. The Bisons. Casey Candel, his mom who played ball. Are you ready for the Sacramento Athletics?
No.
Well, good, because they're not actually officially known as that.
Okay.
The Sacramento is in quotes. Because they're going to play there. But their name is the Athletics. They're just the Athletics. They're not the Sacramento Athletics officially. That'll be great.
This is is there an official, the Athletics Baseball Club or something?
It's just Athletics.
Wow.
So in the standings, where you would always see the, you know, the places,
mm-hmm.
Houston, Seattle, Texas, Los Angeles, Athletics. They'll probably be last again, right? That's what that's going to look like.
I think that's a reasonable expectation, yeah.
It's always better to use the locations, the cities. That's how you refer to teams. First reference, it's always got to be the locations. Then it can be the Sabres or whatever.
Right.
Athletics is just going to be the only reference.
But in this case, Sacramento is absolutely just a placeholder, right?
Well,
are they going to? Do they have that ironed out?
Is they do not.
The stadium and everything? No, Vegas.
They will be in Sacramento for 3 years, probably more.
Well, then this is ridiculous. Then,
and they do have an alternate logo. I saw this at sportslogos.net, one of my favorite sites. They do have an alternate logo with a bridge and the word Sacramento underneath the bridge. So there must be a bridge in Sacramento. That's my takeaway here. I've been there, but I don't remember the bridge.
Yeah.
So there is a reference to Sacramento in one of their logos. Otherwise, it's just A's. The elephant's gone. No more elephant. The Philadelphia A's, the Kansas City A's, the Oakland A's, the logo is always an elephant.
Like an elephant with like one leg up on like a circus ball or something. Is that or like that little thing that the elephant handlers would, like a stool or something? I feel like that's that pose in that logo. Do I sound crazy to you right now?
No,
sorry,
not to me.
I'm digging deep on second or third markings for the Athletics baseball franchise, but that's what I see in my head.
The elephant is standing on a big baseball. With a bat in its trunk, holding a bat. Like, so it is like it's, and one leg is, it's like it's performing.
Okay, right.
You're right. You had it.
All right, good. Thank you.
Yeah,
well,
that's gone.
This be great. The Sacramento, 3 years or more, what are you doing? It's just like, do you want people in Sacramento to embrace this team like it's theirs for a little while and actually go to the games? Maybe put their city's name on it.
Well, the good news on that front is the stadium only holds 10,000 people. 10-6.
Wow.
Sutter Health Park.
This is the most baseball has ever hockeyed in the history of baseball.
Way
to hockey it up, baseball. What a joke.
Sutter Health Park, be there March 31st for the Athletics versus the Chicago Cubs. So it's probably a tough ticket, 10,000.
I suppose. Poor Oakland.
Poor Oakland is right. They lost the Raiders and the A's.
And the Warriors.
Kind of, yeah, right.
Right? I mean, the Oracle was near the Coliseum, was it not? And now they're...
It was right next to it.
Right.
I was there. I've been to Oakland Coliseum to see the A's. And I liked it because I like everything that's new to me.
Right.
If that were my home stadium, I would have probably Not loved it.
I'm pretty sure when we were in San Francisco and went to a ball game, I got to see Lincecum pitch kind of in his prime. That was awesome. We were out there for a wedding, and one of the outings for the wedding, the whole everybody who traveled in was like, we got tickets for this ball game. Great. I think right across the bay, you could see the lights of the Oakland Coliseum. At least I think that's what it was, but I'm not 100% sure.
Oh, I wonder.
Maybe I should get a Google map out at some point and check that. But either way, Oakland has just been like backseat their entire lives. Like if you're from Oakland, you've just lost and lost and lost and lost and lost. That's brutal, man.
Well, it's a Buffalo-Toronto thing. Like when there was a HBO documentary about the Raiders, Tom Hanks is in it. Tom Hanks is from Oakland. And he's one of the people who talked about it. Like, San Francisco gets all the glory. The streets of San Francisco, right? I left my heart in. It's always about San Francisco. Here we are. Rice-a-roni. Here we are in Oakland, second fiddle. And to win, it's just like that much better. Buffalo-Toronto, you know, like when the Sabres, nobody's old enough to remember, but when the Sabres were really good, Toronto was pretty bad, and beating them was like so satisfying because they have all the money and the glory, and then Buffalo just, you know, ripped them apart. So
does it
happen?
We've had Rice-A-Roni in the house recent enough, but I haven't noticed. Does it still get referred to as the San Francisco treat?
I don't know.
So if anybody didn't get the reference, back on game shows when they would give away Rice-A-Roni as a consolation prize, the graphic would say the San Francisco treat.
Yeah, I don't know. I've not thought about Rice-A-Roni in a decade. But I'm glad to welcome to the show, Rice-A-Roni. 803-0550, James Cook, the hockey games last two nights. We've been talking about those topics a lot this week. Would love to hear from you on either as we return. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.